Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week I'm chatting to Molly Guinness. Molly is one of the Radio Academy's new trustees and also executive producer of the ARIAS-nominated Times Radio Breakfast Show. I asked Molly to tell me about her journey into radio production and how it all started.
I started in print and I worked at a financial newspaper, my first job after university. And then I decided to move to Paris. And when I got to Paris, I met a few people and somebody told me about Radio France International having an English service. And I went there and luckily it was so kind of small. I don't want to say tin pot, but I'm going to say tin pot that they let me in. I didn't really know what I was doing. And it was such a great place to start because it was full of like wonderful kind of eccentric people. You could do everything. So like, you know, I was able to kind of make packages and edit programs and make programs and present programs quite badly and yeah, make lots of mistakes and have a great time. And so it was really fun. There was a kind of anarchy about it that I love. And it was also on the Seine. Like there's this famous building in Paris called the Maison de la Radio, which is this very kind of iconic circular building. And so we were in there and it overlooks the Eiffel Tower. So it was like a dream job, basically. So I did that for 2 years and then I moved back to London and then I joined the BBC and I worked for World Service and then at Radio 4 and then I eventually moved to Times Radio.
And you are executive producer of the Times Radio Breakfast Show. Tell me a little bit about that. Nominated for an ARIA this year.
Yes, it's such a fun job. It's such a fun team. So Stig and Asma are the presenters and they are just a joy to work with. Because I actually think as a radio producer, it's quite rare to find presenters who are kind of really, really good on air, but also take production with kind of, you know, they're happy to be properly produced and they're just such fun. You know, I love hanging out with them. And there's a really amazing team led by Hussein Husseini, who's got like years and years of radio experience. Yeah, we all just kind of follow in his footsteps and try to be like him. It's a 4-hour program. So it's a lot of work to kind of fill it every day. So we have a panel of 2 guests, 9 o'clock to 9:30. But yeah, the rest of it's kind of booked the day before or that morning. And I love it, you know, when there's news breaking and you have to kind of throw everything up in the air and start again with your running order.
That's the excitement of live radio, isn't it? When something happens and you do chuck the running order out the window, don't you? And just run with it. Yeah. There's nothing quite like it. It is amazing.
I remember the day that the war started in Ukraine and I got into my taxi at 3 a.m. and I think the first kind of missiles hit Kyiv like 3:15. And so it was all just starting as we were kind of arriving at work and the sense of this momentous day was happening. And it was kind of, obviously it was so sad. And, you know, over the next weeks and months, we had told so many kind of tragic stories, but there was this kind of amazing sense of privilege that we were there to bring people that news that morning. And of course, when there's breaking news, you know, all the people who've got anything to do with that story answering their phones and they're keen to come on and they want to talk. It was a really amazing kind of day that actually.
It's a competitive market, breakfast radio. What do you believe sets the Times Radio Breakfast Show apart from other morning shows out there?
I think the relationship between Stig and Asma is just a joy to listen to. And the way that we can kind of go from light to serious, but we try and do kind of quite spiky stories as much as we can. And I do think our panels are something I'm really proud of, actually. So we have William Hague and Kezia Dugdale every Tuesday. And then I try to kind of get just as many kind of interesting people the other days. We have Giles Corran on a Wednesday, which is, you never know what he's going to say next. And that is kind of the joy of it. It's kind of funny, I think, I hope, entertaining to listen to, but you are getting a really serious briefing on the news.
John Witherow, the problem when politicians write in newspapers generally is that it is absolutely buttercatingly boring. It's terrible stuff, dreadful prose, sort of hammering a point that over and over again. That wasn't the case with this one. This is a genuinely interesting work that's got everyone talking. What would you have made of it if you'd been editing the paper?
Well, I've been delighted to publish it. I mean, you can't accuse Suella Braverman of being boring.
We will remove Hamas from office. We will remove them from power. And in so doing, we're saving Gaza from this terrible Hamas regime that's been there for 16 years. And what have they bought the Palestinians of Gaza? Impoverishment, pain, suffering, bloodshed. Surely the people of Gaza deserve a better government than the one they've currently got.
But to get the better government, then you're going to cause pain, impoverishment, and bloodshed. People are dying, buildings are being razed. That's the problem, isn't it? That you might be going after Hamas, but you're harming other people. And we talk about that all the time with you, Mark. I understand your argument about collateral damage. But the point is, what the UN is saying, what many observers say, it is disproportionate. You want to go after Hamas, that's understandable. Too many people are dying in your attempt to do so.
You know, the thing about Rishi is he's like, you know, he's like a boy band member on autotune, isn't he? He's like, he's got the looks, he's got the suit, he's got the background, he's got the money. He's, you know, he fits all the demographic, but he was very politically naive. And these people, I think they've seized him and they've captured him.
Now, Rob Hutton is a sketch writer who's lucky enough to have read the whole damn thing. And he joins us now. Morning to you.
Good morning.
Right, I've got this in front of me and I'm trying to find this bit where it did read a bit like fiction, and I don't mean that in a rude way. It was just, it was said the day was heavy. It was, you know, it was a November day. I'm going to try and find it. But anyway, can you first tell me what did you think of this book?
This is a very, very bad book.
What do you want the listeners to take away from it each morning?
Well, I always say to my team, ideally, in an ideal program, you'd want them to laugh, cry, and get cross over the course of the morning. And I also think that you want, as you're kind of building the program, in every half hour, you want something that kind of sparkles, something you're really looking forward to talking about, like a really good talking point, or an amazing, you know, case study, as a ghastly term that we use, but, you know, like a real person with a real thing that's happened to them. And I think if you can have a combination of kind of real people and subjects that get people talking and kind of politicians being held to account, then you're onto a winner.
It is quite a hard balance though, isn't it? You're delivering news, you're delivering current affairs, but you want to be engaging. Like you say, you want to make people laugh as well as get angry and get cross or feel something about what's happening in the news. That's a tricky balance when you're trying to navigate finding a broader audience. Or are you trying to find a broad audience? I mean, I always assume everybody wants as many people to listen as possible, but...
Yeah, we are trying to find a broad audience. And I think one place where, you know, we often find humour is in the panel, because we get people, we don't get them on to kind of fight with each other. They generally get on really well with each other and they have a nice conversation, and, you know, we'll choose kind of three or four talking points of the morning, and I hope that in one of them we can find some entertainment as well as kind of serious analysis. And then, you know, often we just get loads of kind of entertaining messages from our listeners as we're going along as well. So people's experience of, I don't know, whether it's like trying to buy an electric car or whether it's realizing that they didn't read the instructions on their air fryer, or there's a lot of funny stuff that just comes in as we're going along. And sometimes you don't realize that you've sort of started something. And then, like, there was one morning which actually ended up being the date that they chose for the Arias. So I listened to this program like several times over, and it was, I think, Karamat bars had been discontinued, and people were texting in all morning with other confectionery that they had been discontinued. And Asma was like a massive expert on this subject, and we didn't know about this area of expertise that she had. So often stuff kind of comes up organically, and often it's in the audio that you find. You know, it's so important to just think with every story, like, how can I enhance this? What audio can I use? Is it a clip of somebody saying something, or is it an old bit of archive or an ad from the 60s or whatever? Or sometimes music, I can use it well. And that's often where you find the good stuff. I don't know if you remember that Donald Trump had that thing about God made Trump. We played a bit of that every half hour, like the whole way through the morning. And it brought us endless joy.
I was going to say the feedback, how does that shape the direction each morning? It's obviously a big part of the show.
Yeah, it sort of gives us a sense of what people are interested in, so that's quite helpful. But often it can just be the kind of light relief, the kind of seam of a theme that kind of darts at 6 a.m. and is still going at 9. And sometimes people text them with an amazing story or, you know, appalling story about something that went wrong with the NHS or something. And then we do sometimes ring them back and ask them if they'd like to come on. And yeah, you often get really good stories that way as well. I quite often follow up with people the next day and ask them if they'd like to come on. And quite often they do. So, and sometimes they have, you know, expertise as well.
We've had our own letter this morning, an incredibly moving email from Steve Turner, which we want to read out in full because it's meant an awful lot to us when we've just had a quick look at it, hasn't it, Asma? Mm. And he sent this to us just a couple of minutes ago. Good morning. I've been in two minds if this warrants an email to you or not. My father and I would listen to Times Radio from the days of Callum's Early Breakfast through to Mariella each day. And when we spoke, we'd often reference bits from shows that best supported our own views. We'd often laugh at the handover from early to main breakfast, like the parents taking control from their cheeky kid. My dad was in London and very much dyed-in-the-wool Labour, whereas I live in York and have always been much more centrist. As such, our political views would often differ, yet you all managed to provide a platform that we could both listen to and agree in parts, such as the balance that I think you managed to achieve with your content. My father loved Asma's sense of humour and would often call Stig a delightful curmudgeon. We both enjoyed Matt Chorley, even if my dad would often bemoan him as a typical Tory. We'll tell him that in a minute. My dad sadly passed away last Thursday, and I'll be honest and say I've struggled a bit to listen to you all, since I know I can't have the usual debates with my dad over the various shows and interviews. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for the content, the giggles and the sometimes tears on the topics you've covered. And thank you for giving me something that I've shared with my dad over the last couple or so years. Hard to convey how much it means when I think about all the things I'll miss about my father. So thanks and a very Merry Christmas to you all from Steve.
It's demanding, breakfast radio. It's always the flagship show of the day for any station. It's the one that everybody looks to. It's the big gig. And you mentioned earlier, you know, the taxi picks you up at 3 a.m. How do you keep that energy up to keep coming up with content every day, you and the producers, the whole team? Because it is exhausting, isn't it? You know, it's not a natural time to get up in the morning, 3 o'clock.
If you like live radio and then you get the breakfast show, anything else is kind of feels like it would be a step down and it wouldn't be as fun.
It's the pinnacle, isn't it? Everyone wants breakfast, but it's exhausting on you personally and your life, personal life. It must be.
Everyone wants breakfast. There's this camaraderie as well at 3 a.m. and you get all the gossip and there's no one else around and you're having your first coffee of the day at 4 a.m. or sometimes you manage to hold out till 4:30 just to and sometimes the coffee machine's broken and you have to like go around the building desperately trying to find a coffee machine that works. And it is just so fun. And you do always have that sense of impact with breakfast because it's the one that people listen to. And I'm actually on a break at the moment from breakfast because I'm having some chemotherapy because I had to have an operation in March to remove a tumor from my colon. And so that was the moment I was like, I can't carry on getting up at 3 a.m. So sadly, and it really is sad, I think my breakfast, my days of producing, outputting breakfast are over, which I wouldn't have chosen, but I'll still keep doing live radio and my body kind of made the decision for me. But it's definitely the best program of the day and it's one you can kind of shape. With the news, you either get the first bite of the news or you have a bit of time to come up with a creative treatment or a really good case study or something kind of special to take a story into the next day. And you don't really have that lunchtime, afternoon time news program thing of like, oh, let's just get it. We need someone on air just like through. I mean, obviously sometimes we do need someone on air, but like generally yeah. Have a chance with the stories that you pick. You do them really well with breakfast. That's why I love it. And I always have. I did the breakfast program when I was in Paris as well. It was, you know, I've spent too many nights of my life drinking coffee at 3 a.m. and Laura laughed at us before going on air to deliver news to the people.
There is nothing like it though, is there? There is nothing like you say, you know, I've worked on breakfast and over the years. And there is something quite special about just that band of you and you're there at 4, 5 a.m, whatever it might be. And there's no one else about. And you get that first bite of the cherry, don't you? You set the agenda of the day for the whole station. It is incredibly special. Media's changing. The landscape of radio, audio, digital is a huge part of what we all have to do now. Social media, podcasting, whatever it might be. How does Times Radio adapt in this media landscape?
Well, I think there's two ways. One is video, and we've tried to get nearly all our guests in vision now, and the really good bits we put up online, and then they get the second life online, and that is great. It brings Times Radio to a whole new audience, and it's also a great thing for the producers and the presenters. It's always been the nature of radio that you do something and it goes out into the ether and then it's kind of gone. And if you're lucky, people might remember it years later. But now there's a record of it that's kind of there forever, and you can see the numbers going up as if it's really good. You can see people watching, and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people watching it. So that's wonderful. We love the video. The way that also, I think Times Radio's kind of really done brilliantly on video. But first, we didn't really have a strategy for it. And then like a couple of years ago, Brian Whelan came in and he's turned us into a kind of video powerhouse. The other thing is kind of listening on demand, which you could call podcast, breaking down little chunks of radio programs and putting them out as podcasts is a good thing to do. And if everyone's got limited resources, you can. What Matt Chorley has done on Times Radio is he's got this podcast called How to Win an Election, which goes out live from 10:15 till 11 on Tuesdays. And it's got Peter Mandelson, Polly McKenzie and Daniel Finkelstein. They do have to do a few edits, but basically they are putting out a live podcast and then repackaging it for podcast. And we do that on breakfast with our panel. So from 9:05 to 9:30, that goes out as a 25-minute podcast now. So I think that is another way of kind of building more audience all the time and hopefully getting something that is a thing that people can send on to their friends and share. And yeah, just keep trying to reach more and more people that way.
It's all about repackaging that content. That is the big thing now. If you've got a good piece of content, you need to find four, maybe five different ways of packaging that and putting it out there. I want to ask you about your role as a trustee of the Radio Academy, because that's quite a recent appointment, isn't it?
Yes, 20th of February, I think it was.
What responsibilities do you hold as a trustee? Tell me a little bit about the role.
Well, I'm still finding out. I've only done one trustee meeting so far, and I was really impressed by the way that everything's being run. The Radio Academy runs the ARIAs and the radio festival and just tries to kind of be the voice of the radio industry. And there's a lot of just trying to make the balance of books and all of that kind of thing. So that was the first meeting, was just, you know, looking at the numbers, you know, how you kind of put the ARIAs on and manage Radio Academy responsibly. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the ARIAs and kind of getting more involved and just finding out. I'm afraid, yeah, it's such early days. I'm still kind of feeling the way.
This is it. Yeah. What made you want to do it?
Well, two things. One is I've just always loved radio. Like, it's just always been my thing. And I love getting people, young people, into radio and helping them like find a way to make it a career if they want to. And I felt this would be a good way of doing that on a bigger scale, because I've often kind of brought people into Times Radio, tried to be either an official or an unofficial mentor. And it was kind of that was one of my motivations. And yeah, also, I guess just trying to like help make the ARIAs extra fun next year. Yeah. Watch this space.
Finally, and you touched on it there, talking about getting young people into the industry, opportunities, pathways. What kind of advice would you offer an aspiring radio producer to make their mark in our industry?
You have to be prepared to do not normal hours.
Get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Once you've made your peace with that, my advice, read and listen and take an interest and be kind of amazed by things and allow yourself to be astonished by things and taken up by people's stories. And that's really it. We've got this great privilege of deciding what's interesting each day. And so basically you never have to be bored doing radio, but you have to have the capacity to take an interest in people and lots of different subjects.
Molly, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. If people would like to find out more about you and Times Radio and what you're up to, how can they find you?
Well, Times Radio is on the internet and also on your smart speaker, and there's an app you can download to listen to Times Radio, which I'd very much recommend. And yeah, we're on Twitter and on YouTube, and we're on all the platforms, so you can find us that way.
Big thank you to Molly Guinness for being our guest this week. There's less than a week to go to the ARIAs on the 7th of May now, so if you're coming on the night, I'll see you there. Come and say hello. And if you're not coming, why not? If you're a Radio Academy member, then there's still time to get tickets for you and a guest. Go to radioacademy.org
www.radioacademy.com/arias/tickets. Also, save the date for the Radio Academy Festival. Lots more info to come, but right now, make sure you put the 18th of September in your phone or your diary so that you can join us. Next week's podcast is all about the arias. It's a specially extended edition so that we can capture everything. The winners, the speeches, the gossip and the glamour from the evening. Guess who's not going to get any sleep that night? I'll see you at the arias and on the podcast next week.